Oh, I'm sure everyone likes the sound of that short sermon. Something with a good lunch. Yeah, there's that little bit of a temptation there. I'm sure we all want to. I was thinking maybe start the message out with, 15 minutes of let's just meditate, turn the lights out, get a little sleepiness out of our system. But I'm sure we'll all wake up here and give it a shot here today. Again, welcome again. Good afternoon to everyone. I certainly appreciate the day as it's unfolding so far. It's been a beautiful day to meet in, and a nice place we are meeting in here as well. So appreciate all the flowers and such, and the effort that goes into the adornments on the stage here and such. Really does add to the day today. Well, today I'd like to talk about a topic. I'd like to talk about the gifts of God, and I thought it's an interesting subject. We've referenced it a couple times in the last few days. Messages. And obviously this day is an important day. When we're talking about the gifts of God, what are we talking about? Well, I think the most obvious gift, of course, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you look back to the Renaissance paintings, when this Holy Spirit was originally given to the children of God, when it was given on this day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago now, it was an awesome thing. It was quite the sight. Well, that is one big gift that God has given to his people, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whether it comes in tongues of fire setting on our foreheads as that first day, or perhaps with us, with Christ as a dove coming out of heavens. Perhaps, what do we look for as a gift from God? Maybe, yes, we're looking for that peace on earth. What kind of gifts are we thinking of when we think gift of God? And there's some of us who are thinking of the Ferrari F440. That may be a gift from God, but I'm not going there today. We're talking gifts from God. If you want to turn, you can turn there in your Bibles if you like, or if you just want to jot notes, I'll have most of the scriptures up here on screen. If we look at James chapter 1 and verse 5, James chapter 1 verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." There's a concept here, and I think Mr. Saloma read this, if not yesterday, today. There's a concept here of asking God for gifts. There's nothing wrong with asking God for gifts. Well, what are we to ask? And here, one case, he asks about wisdom, but wisdom isn't perhaps everyone's gift. I mean, like we said before, 90% of us think, we're above average in that wisdom part, but there are other things. Do you ask God for good gifts? What kind of gifts do you ask God to deliver? What kind of gifts can you ask? The Holy Spirit is obviously a big one that's key and essential to our Christian life. But we're not talking about physical gifts. We are talking about something different. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, known in other names, as perhaps spiritual gifts. Gifts that God bestows on his people. That is something a little different than the Holy Spirit itself. Well, what are they? What are those gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, a few verses, a few chapters I'll be walking through today to list some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit or spiritual gifts that are enumerated in the Bible. I mean, how many can you name? I mean, we know of some gifts, the gifts of apostle, a gift of teaching. There's a few gifts out there, but there's probably more than we realize, which is an interesting concept because if you don't know that these gifts exist, maybe you have it and you're not using it. It's an important concept to understand. So 1 Corinthians 12, the concept around the book, and it has been read a little bit today, and I think we've read it recently in the past weeks. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about there's one body. There's one body with many members. The many members have different parts to perform, different functions to do, but it's all one body. And that's a key thing when talking about the gifts from God, that there's one body, but many different gifts. It's an interesting anecdote or part in my life, many years ago when I was talking to a pastor of the Worldwide Church of God near the last days I was meeting with him, and he came over and talked to me. And I laid out and explained, I'm having trouble with the covenants. I just cannot fathom the fact that God made an old covenant, and it was so faulty and flawed that he had to throw it out and put in something new. And I gave my little speech, as we've all gone through that particular topic before, and he came back and said, "Rob, I think you're an elbow. And you're an elbow in a church that we're knees. So you're in the wrong place." And it was kind of an unusual way of looking at the many parts of the body. But he's basically saying, I can't answer your question. Adios. But it is one body. There's many members, many functions. But let's start to delve into that a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, as we read this particular chapter, or this verse, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the manifestation of the Spirit. So we have the Spirit. When you are baptized and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's something that lives inside of us. But the manifestation of a Spirit, what is that? I mean, certainly Mr. Saloma today referenced, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. The fruits of the Spirit, yes, that is something that is universally applied. It's something we build in our system. But are there other ways we can manifest the Spirit given to the profit of all, for the profit of all? Well, let's keep reading 1 Corinthians. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians. So let's try 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Now here's a specific statement written by Peter that as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So as each one of us has received a gift, we use it or we serve it. That's the word, you know, deaconos, behind minister. We serve to one another as good stewards of the grace of God. Again, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 14. You know, as we ask God for gifts and we ask for the extra talents, Scripture here states that whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. If we have gifts and we have talents, but we don't use them, it's like clouds and wind without rain. Or the great North American colloquialism, heap big wind, no rain. There's a truth to that. We have to look at our gifts and actually use them and make something produce out of those gifts. Well, the first block of scriptures we'll look at, written by the Apostle Paul, is in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, he starts to introduce this topic of gifts. We'll focus on verses 4 to 8 to start with, but we'll start in verse 4. For as in one body, again the same theme here, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So obviously, we have a lot of different talents and duties and jobs within the church. Verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. So again, building that concept. And we start to look in verse 6. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We all don't have the same gifts. We have different gifts. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. And prophecy in this case means more inspired preaching. If you have that ability and that talent to be an inspiring preacher, then use it. Or ministry. Again, the word service or deaconos. We tend to think of ministries in a different word, but the Greek word is to serve. And let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. Again, teaching is another gift. He who exhorts in exhortation. Yes, I wish I had more of this just to keep everyone alive and flying here, but exhortation is something that's a real gift. It's a talent. He who gives with liberality, being generous, being able to give, being blessed with riches. That there's another element there. He who leads. He who gives with liberality. He who leads. Leadership is another gift. It's something we definitely need. With diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Well, we look at that passage now. We can pick out some spiritual gifts. God says these are specific gifts that he's given to his people in various amounts to various different people. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Those are gifts of Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8. Which of those gifts do you have? Some you might be able to say, not me, nope, strike that one off. But maybe others, you are extra good at that. There's some people who have abilities in these gifts that are supernatural. And I believe that God has said he will give these gifts to his people. Well, let's look again to another passage. We'll move over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, we've read some scriptures in there, but let's go into it in a little bit more depth. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. So that's where the term spiritual gifts come from. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So Paul's setting this up here. Drop down to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Like I was saying, we all have the Holy Spirit. That is a gift given to all of God's ecclesia, the called out ones, his chosen people. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. There are differences of ministries. You know, different ways different people serve, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works in all. And finally, Paul says, but the manifestation, again, as we read earlier, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we look now in verse 8. For to one who is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So you see wisdom and knowledge as being gifts of the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Some people have an extraordinary amount of faith. That's a gift. Another gift of healings by the same Spirit. Whether that's being healed or actually being the instrument to help heal, that was a gift that was given. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy, inspired preaching again. To another, discerning of spirits. That's a gift. To another, different kinds of tongues. Ukrainian may be one of them. Maybe not. But that was a gift that people could speak in other languages instantly. And of course, the interpretation of tongues was also another gift that was given out. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I think this is an important thing for all of us. When we're called into the body of God, when we're called into the church, God sees us as an individual. He knows who we are. He knows what we're like. But he's determining at that time, what gift am I going to give you? What gifts did he give me? My parents were first called in the church when I was a year old. God knew my destiny. He knew the influence that I would have. Well, what did he start doing with me at that time? That's something we all have to look and start to see. What are the gifts that God gives out to his people? And he says, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God's the master planner. He's putting it all together. Again, you look through all the different verses, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation, many gifts that Paul's listing here in 1 Corinthians 12. One last verse at the end of the chapter, he says, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, the ones sent out. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. And after that, miracles. Then the gifts of healings. Helps. Well, here's another one, I think, the gifts of helps. That's certainly something you see at times. The people who have natural talents and abilities to help out, to keep things going, to keep things running. Administrations. There are some people who are good administrators, some people who are not. That's a gift that God gives out to his church. We need good administration abilities. You need to keep track of things. I could talk about my treasurer abilities, and if we all get evicted soon because someone didn't pay the rent on time, I wonder about the gift of administration with your current church treasurer, but you never know what talents you may have. Varieties of tongues. Again, here we have another list of gifts, specific gifts that God says he will give to his people as he sees fit. In verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Well, you think about it, not everyone can be an apostle. Not everyone can be a prophet. And Paul emphasizes that look, we all may want the best things, but God's going to distribute it as he wills. And you notice he says, do all have the gifts of healings? Do you speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Paul's saying there's nothing wrong with wanting gifts of the Spirit and asking God for them. It certainly fits with all the other scriptures that we've read. Now, if you go on, of course, 1 Corinthians 13, what does Paul talk about? He gets into the ultimate, which is love, of course. We won't go into that today, but we'll just focus on these specific gifts here. So the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a bunch of them are listed now. You're starting to see a fuller picture of the gifts that God has promised his people. Administration, apostleship, discernment, faith, healing, helps or service, knowledge, miracles, prophecy, teaching, tongues interpretation, wisdom. The big list there. Where do you see your gifts? Where are your talents in that group? One final group of scriptures we'll look at, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 4. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling. Drop down to verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Again, there's an individuality with a spiritual gift and with the gift. We all have the Spirit, but there's certain measures given out. Certainly we can talk about, and a really good analogy to look back upon is the parable of the talents. When Christ talked about giving talents to different people. Talents, of course, in that day was money, but there's an element here as well that Christ does give different amounts to different people, but yet all of those different people different things will be required. Verse 8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. It's quoting from an Old Testament, from a Psalms, I believe. And he gave gifts to men. Well, inside this, Paul refers back to the fact that Christ would give gifts to men. What are those? Well, he specifically talked about several very public, very visible gifts here. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4, he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are all, like I say, very public gifts. You know, in our generation, we have had some apostles or maybe some evangelists. I think all of us are here because of one man in the last century who was a very good evangelist. He was a very good apostle. And what he did, spread the word, did more for Sabbath keeping than anyone else in the last century, as many have accredited. We have had some of these gifts, but they're a bit more public a thing. Again, we have five gifts that Paul lists here in Ephesians 4. I think it's very interesting. You read the next verse. What are these gifts for? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And second, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now you look at these gifts. This is typically, we often see these roles in our ministry. Men who are full-time. The pastors, the shepherds, evangelists, preachers, apostles. That's something that is done for the most part as a full-time job, a full-time occupation. What are they doing? Well, I think in the United Church of God, I think we have a very good balance to say that the men are servants. There's a concept of servant leadership. They are trying to help equip the saints for the work of ministry. Or you could say equipping the brethren for the work of serving, to help us develop our gifts, to find our gifts, and to grow on them. I think that's a very important concept, that when you have very public gifts, you're supposed to use them to help the body to grow and to move forward. Again, Ephesians 4, you have another five gifts that are listed here. Apostles, prophets, an evangelist, a pastor or shepherd, and a teacher. Very important gifts. Which of these gifts do you have? When we look at the gifts of God again, we start looping back to the beginning. We ask, well, what are the gifts of God? We've read three passages of scriptures that say, here are the things that could be one of our gifts. There are others in the scriptures. I haven't gone through all of them, but there are more, something to search out in specific things that God gives his people. What are you doing with your gifts? Do you know what your talents are? You know, up here today, I'm thinking, well, I hope that I have a little bit, just a smidgen of the gift of teaching. So I'm hoping to teach something to the group. Some of us are good teachers. Some of us are not. Some are administrators. Some are good helpers. You know, our deacons are all excellent examples of helpers, serving, working for the church. What are the talents that we have? Reminded of one particular story, one story I'd like to share with you. A woman by the name of Julian Mint. Probably most of us don't know who she is, but we have been affected by her. Now, she grew up in the 30s. In England, I believe it was. And she was fairly, she said herself, she was hopeless in school. School was just a really difficult thing to her. The school wrote to her parents and said, we think your daughter has a learning disorder. She's fidgeting. She can't sit still. She can't concentrate. And she's just not progressing well in school. You know, were this something done today, she probably would have been told that your daughter has ADHD. Your daughter can't sit still. But back in the 30s, you know, ADHD hadn't been invented yet. So people didn't know they could get this affliction. Well, she went to see a specialist, went to see a doctor to see what they could do about this problem. And for 20 minutes, she's relaying this. She sat on her hands, listening to the teachers, the principal, and the doctors tell her why she was having so many problems in school. And after listening to this, the doctor sat next to her, sat down next to Julian, and told her that he needed to privately talk with his mother. And he said, wait here, we'll be right back. I got to talk to your mother. So the doctor and the mother left the room. And as the doctor left, he turned on the radio that was sitting on his desk. So he turned on the radio, went out the room, closed the door behind her, and he said to the mother, okay, now let's stop. Let's look and watch your daughter. So the minute they left the room, the daughter was suddenly up on her feet and moving to the music. The doctor turned to the mother and said, Julian isn't sick. She's a dancer. take her to a dance school. So she did. Mother put her in a dance school. Now the daughter now relates, looking backward. She said when she walked into the dance studio, she said for the first time she felt like she belonged. She was in a place where she could relate to the other people there. It was full of people like her, people who couldn't sit still. She said they were people who had to move to think. Well, eventually, Julian was accepted into the Royal Ballet School. She became a soloist as well in her career. And she said she had a wonderful career at the Royal Ballet. After she graduated from the Royal Ballet, she formed her own dance company, the Julian Mint Dance Company. She went on to meet Andrew Lloyd Webber. She went on to choreograph musicals such as Cats and The Phantom of the Opera, some of the most successful theater productions produced in the last century. She's given pleasure to millions of people, and she herself is a millionaire. Somebody else might have put her on medication and told her to calm down. You and I, we have a gift from God. We have the Holy Spirit. He has promised to give gifts to his people. What is that gift? If you have it, what's happened to it? Is it buried in the sand? Or are you exercising it and growing it? First thing we need to do is identify those gifts, and then we need to start growing it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, start reading verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We stir up the Holy Spirit that's in us. We stir up the specific gifts that God says he has given to his people. I look at a cross-reference, and this may be a little small to read, but when you look at the three chapters, we have exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy. Prophecy, notably, is in three places it's mentioned, inspired preaching, ministry and service. Teaching, again, is mentioned in three places. It is a good thing. We have a lot of emphasis on teaching in our congregation, because that's an important thing. Administration, apostleship is mentioned twice. Discernment, faith, healing, helps, knowledge, miracles, tongues interpretation, wisdom, evangelism, shepherding. Those are gifts that we've looked at today. And I said, there's others. One I didn't mention, celibacy. That was considered a gift to actually give that to the church and dedicate your life to the church. Removing evil spirits was one in Mark 3:15. The gift of hospitality. How many of us have that gift of hospitality? Some are just so good and natural at that. And you see that. And that's something that ought to be developed. God gave it to the church for a reason. Intercession. Martyrdom. That's a tough one, but that was a gift. Some people would pay the ultimate price for the church. Missionary. Going to strange lands and strange peoples and preaching the gospel. That was a gift. Ephesians 3:6-8. Voluntary poverty. Some of us are in poverty not voluntarily, but sometimes we give up our money and riches to serve the church. That is a gift. A gift of riches is mentioned many places too. Something I was very happy and somewhat pleased to see with as the treasurer when we asked for if people wanted to contribute and help send a kid to camp this year. Well, many people stepped up and said, I'm blessed. I have some riches. I have some extra money I'd like to donate to this cause. We had over $1,400 donated to send all the kids to camp from the brethren here. Wonderful example of we have a gift and we want to share it. And it's something God gave me, so I'm passing it on to the church. We've had that at socials too, where just chip in what you can. And it always seems to work out that we get covered because those who have the gifts are using it. Many gifts, and that's not an exhaustive list as to what the gifts are of the Holy Spirit. So what can we do in reviewing the gifts of God? Review the list of the gifts of God. I've given some here, and we have three passages of scriptures. Look at it. Try and find out, what is my gift? What am I talented at? Secondly, we can then pick those gifts that apply to you. Maybe pick the top three. Ask your spouse. Ask a friend. What is my talent? What am I good at? Thirdly, think about it. Meditate on the application. Now, anytime you find something, you have to think about, well, what can I do? How can I, in my way, use my gift? And finally, exercise it. We have to exercise the gifts as God gave it to us. So when we look forward, when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, the different things that God has promised to his people, let's do these four things. Let's think about it, review it, pick it, and start to exercise the gift of the Spirit. As Jesus said, you know, to the man who buried his talent in the sand, what did he say to that person? It was a very harsh reaction, a very condemning reaction to, how dare you just bury it in the sand? How could you not use it? So that's what we need to do as well. Find our gifts, understand they're there, and start to use them.